from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Figgy Fig, John Lopez, Chris Santiago on the board. They are in the loop, and they start now.
Yeah, we do. With a question. Do you like surprises?
I don't like surprises.
Yes, you do.
Nah.
Chris, do you like surprises?
No, man.
Okay, here's my theory.
It depends what type of surprises.
No,
yeah.
No.
Like a surprise.
Sean, do you like surprises?
I'm with Figgy. It depends.
Y'all are all lying.
But see, you don't like a
lying.
I think it depends with you, too. You don't like somebody surprising you at the house.
Well, that's not a surprise. That's just rude. That's just rude.
That's a surprise. Somebody could be surprising you.
The drop in, the pop in is not the same. I'm of the opinion that everybody loves a surprise, even people who say they don't. Like if I surprised you today with a brisket and 2 bottles of OG sauce, you'd be like, man, I hate surprises. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. So I'm of the opinion that everybody likes surprises, even when you say you don't like surprises.
Okay.
All right. So I say all that to say we got a surprise at 1 o'clock. We got a surprise at 1 o'clock. Texans club seats.
Oh, okay.
To the Texans in the 1 o'clock hour. Club seats, baby. Club seats for the Man. Texans. Speaking of which, Texans fans obviously have never been more excited for a season, right?
Right,
and so it made me think a little bit because I've surprised myself, like because I'm usually like, yeah, well, let's make sure on this and that, and I don't know about Matt Schaub, and I don't know about this running game, and I don't know about Bill O'Brien. Over the years, I'm like, okay, but I'm all in on the Texans. I think you're all in on the Texans.
Yeah,
Chris is all in on the Texans. Everybody's all in on the Texans.
All
Sean's
in.
Raising his hand. Everybody. So here's the question, the question of the day, if you will, how long did you think it would take to get here? Like when we were 2021 and we're listening to David Culley and we're looking at a roster of guys that were on 1-year contracts and we're looking at what this team with Deshaun on the way out and everything else. Like serious question, 713-572-4610. Realistically, in your heart of hearts, go back to 2021. How long did you think it would take to get here?
In my heart of heart.
Yeah.
Man, I thought I was going to be in my mid-40s by the time we get something.
You've been
going.
Scarred, to be fair.
Yeah, I've been scarred. And I think the main reason was, like, I got to be honest, I wasn't a fan at the time of Trey and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I didn't want him. I wanted to work out the kinks.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
And
the kinkies?
Yeah.
We had to work out the kinkies.
Work out the knots. But I wanted to repair that relationship.
Yeah.
Because I just knew they weren't going to get another franchise quarterback like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people said the same thing too, saying if you trade this guy, it's going to be a long time before you find talent like that.
Yeah.
And
then everything else on top of that.
Yeah, outside the David Culleys, the mm-hmm. Lovie Smiths, and I just knew it was going to be a long time. And then they rolled with Davis Mills for like 2 years.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, man, they ain't gonna find.
Davis Mills wasn't it.
Yeah, and we knew that he wasn't it.
Yeah,
but I just knew you wasn't gonna get a quarterback like Deshaun Watson again for at least about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I'll be honest, and I hope the listeners are too. 713-572-4610. When I saw that, two things were going on in my mind. Number one was, I see you working, Nick Caserio. We criticized him here and there for maybe some particular moves. But what he was doing, and you guys can go back and find it on the Odyssey app. You can go back and find it in the show archives. I consistently said he's tearing it down. He's building a salary cap. He's trying to make it happen. Basically, rip this house down to the studs. I knew what he was doing, and I'm not trying to be self-serving here, patting myself on the back or anything. I'm just saying I could see him working, all right? But that being said, the other thing is this. I still didn't know if it was going to work because we didn't have the right coach. We, you know, who knew if he was going to be around for long? Again, just being completely honest, I thought I would be retired by the time the Texans got there, 7-8 years.
Yeah, and even outside of the whole quarterback situation, I didn't see. I grew up in Cleveland. That team was losing pretty much my whole damn life.
Yeah,
but I didn't see them, you know, stock up draft picks and make all these draft moves and draft whatever quarterback, and it never worked.
Yeah.
Like, none of it never worked.
Mm-hmm.
So, I see a lot of people say what they were saying at the time, they getting draft picks. All you got to do is just get a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, nah, it ain't that easy.
Yeah.
Like, if that was the case, a lot of teams would be doing that. That would be the formula. But I just think, man, I don't want to go back to that whole lucky conversation, but
yeah,
a lot of people don't just come across a franchise quarterback that quick.
Like,
the only team I ever seen do that was Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay is usually good with that. I'm super jealous of that. And the Colts, when they went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. But usually you don't see that type of stuff, man. People usually struggle trying to find that right quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, look at the text board. We're getting dozens upon dozens. Based on the history of this franchise, I wasn't sure it was ever going to come. Another 10 years, says another texter. I thought it would be 8 to 10 years, another texter said. It's just on and on and on. If you're being honest, because here's the other thing. Even if I saw, you know, Caserio working and I was, you know, how many times did you hear me call David Culley an empty suit? He was a nothing.
I think you said that the first day he got hired.
I said it the day he got hired. He's an empty suit. I know. I knew what Caserio was trying to do, but you still needed a quarterback. You still need, because Deshaun, I knew was gone. I felt was gone.
Yeah.
You still needed a quarterback. No matter how you built the roster, how much cap space you had. Here we are about to see the Texans play a home game with the starting lineup in the midst of it all. And we are optimistic of maybe an AFC championship, maybe beyond. I thought it'd be 7-8 years at the minimum.
Me too. I was even thinking 7-8 years before you find the quarterback.
Yes.
Because I knew they was going to draft the quarterback at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But it usually take about 3 years for you to figure out if this is even the guy.
Yeah.
3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
And then you got to recycle and get another one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if they even draft a quarterback.
The Texans have done that.
Yeah.
The Browns have done. A lot of teams have done that.
A lot of teams been recycling quarterbacks for a long time and never found that quarterback.
Yes. So let's refresh your memory a little bit. Let's go back to just more than 2.5 years ago when David, well, I guess it's 3 now. But either way, when David Culley arrived.
I took this job simply because there's 32 of these in this league. And it is a pleasure. It is a privilege. It is an honor to be the head coach of one of these franchises.
Dude, I was standing in the back of the room. No, that was a Zoom meeting, that one. It was later when I heard David Culley. But either way, there are people who were watching David Culley's press conferences that worked for the Texans, like in football, that their faces would just drop whenever he talked.
Eh.
Like, I was thinking, they know. Like, this isn't the guy. And remember that first, they were also trying to like build him up and insulate him. Remember the last question of his first press conference?
Our last question will go to Houston Texans fan Melissa. Hi, Coach. My name is Melissa. And on
Melissa.
Hi. On behalf of the Texans season ticket holders, my question is, last season was tough, and there's been a lot of talk circulating around the Texans recently. The fan base would like to hear some positive news. What are a few optimistic reasons why you are excited about our future?
We don't need to hear his answer. Dude, they were insulating him. She was reading a question. They planted a fan as a question to take up some time and to insulate this dude. And when that happened, we talked about it here. I was like, this is a bleep show, man.
The funny part about that is, so they were playing that press conference on Zoom. This was during the Zoom days.
Yeah.
And I was watching. I could see everybody, all the media people, everybody on the Zoom. And everybody in the media face just dropped.
Yes.
Because everybody didn't get a chance to ask a question.
Oh, and they were selective on who they
picked. Yeah. So it was a lot of people in there trying to get a question in. And with Zoom, it's a little more, I guess the press conference lasts a little longer because
because
it's a lot more talking, and a lot of media people didn't get mm-hmm. a chance to ask anything. And then when they went to her, they were just like,
Melissa,
are you freaking kidding me?
And she's got like a 3x5 note card. Hi, Melissa. Yes, Coach.
Blah, hi, blah, Melissa.
Blah, blah, blah. All right, so remember when we were talking, all right, let's get into the nuts and bolts with David Culley. Let's talk some football with David Culley.
The most important thing about football is the football.
All right, there you go. I thought it would be, like I said, 7-8 years, maybe more. And here we are. Like, we are, you know, you're going to get a chance to see him up close and personal. I will say this. We don't know exactly what their record is going to be. We're going to get into that, boy, in just a little bit. Somebody was bashing the Texans. We don't know what kind of year, you know, C.J. Stroud's going to have, the defense. We don't know what their record's going to be. We don't know anything. I feel like we kind of know about Caserio already. Like, even before they snapped the first snap, what he did to have an actual vision, which nobody has anymore. Like it's so self-gratification, instant gratification world in which we live. Like, I want it all, and I want it all now. And I understand it. But Nick Caserio didn't even know who the ultimate head coach was going to be. It didn't know that he was going to have to go through Lovie Smith also. Yeah. But he had this vision of, let's rip it down to the studs. Let's build some cap. Let's try to get some guys that can help us down the road, and we'll see. But he actually had a vision. That doesn't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, he had 2 one-and-done coaches, and he was getting criticized for that. The whole team was getting criticized for that. And I didn't really trust Caserio because he was a New England guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, man, get rid of this New England
Patriot
stuff.
South and all that?
Yeah, I'm mm-hmm. like, get rid of this stuff, man. Yeah. We've been doing this stuff for the last, 7 to 8 years.
And especially here where they'd never won anything.
Yeah, so I'm like, this clearly don't work. But mm-hmm. the way Nick Caserio came in, I just felt like he knew the house was destroyed.
Yeah.
So he said, you know what, let me just break this down and build it back up. The first 2 years are going to be rough.
So that's what I'm saying.
So he didn't waste his time trying to get the best coaching candidate the first year because he knew that would have been rough.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been, I hate to say it like this, but.
And they would have been set up to fail.
That coach would have been set up to fail.
Yeah.
He probably wouldn't have made it after year two.
Yeah. And go ahead.
So that's why he got, you know, David Culley. And mm-hmm. then the following year, Lovie Smith, who was already on this staff, just took over for year two.
And the following year, he started sort of making, obviously, more selections. That was Derek Stingley year, I think.
Was year two.
Yeah. And then started getting guys maybe on 2-year contracts and 3-year contracts. Tunsil was here. By the way, do you know how many from that 2021 David Culley season? Do you know how many starters are going to be on this team?
From that David Culley team?
Yeah.
One.
Three. Titus Howard, Nico Collins.
That's right, Titus. I forgot.
Titus Howard, Nico Collins, and Laremy Tunsil. From a 53-man roster, if our projections end up being in the right neighborhood, there's going to be fewer than 10 players left.
Man.
10.
Man.
That's a dude that had a vision, knew what he was doing. And I kept saying it. These guys are just coming here to cash another check and give the fans and the organization something to maybe talk about. But the reality is they weren't going to win. They knew they weren't going to win. But he just kind of broke it down, took his lumps. He didn't even know if he was going to be around.
Yeah.
But he did it.
Yeah, because a lot of teams, and this was, I was kind of criticizing them a little bit because I'm like, man, GMs usually don't get that much string.
Yeah.
Like, usually, like nowadays, GMs usually get about a good 2 years. If you had two bad years,
you might be out.
Yeah, but he, 2 years, he fired two coaches.
Yeah.
So.
And people were talking about that.
Yeah.
Why is he still around?
Yeah, that was the question.
Yeah.
And he clearly knew what he was doing. He just had to get through that tough part.
Yeah.
And I think in a perfect world, he probably could have got through that tough part with Cully for 2 years, but you couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't bring back Cully.
It was a 4-13 or whatever they were.
Yeah. You couldn't bring back Cully.
Yeah. And so all that to say this, we don't know a lot about what the Texans are going to do. I think we already know Nick Caserio, just to get this team to this point this soon, and really you can say last year because they were obviously a 10-win playoff team, but to get to this point where you think you're a contender for a conference championship, you think if things go right, you might even end up in a Super Bowl. I think Nick Caserio is the best general manager this organization has ever had. We don't know much what's going to happen in the future. I think we already know that.
That's a bold statement,
No,
man.
I think he is. I mean, but think about that. Like, to say, I might lose my job, but this is how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, and I think he did it the untraditional way.
Yeah.
Because usually when a GM come into a bad team, they trying to prove the team right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking 2 years on the chin.
Yeah.
So they usually,
and they don't want to lose.
Yeah. Usually you have a GM that was already there, probably in tank mode.
Yeah.
And already on the way out.
Yeah.
And then you bring in somebody new when everything is said and done. Mm-hmm. Because I think in the ideal world, Nick Caserio probably would have been fired after year two.
Yeah.
And they brung in somebody new with cap space and draft picks, and then they start a new era like that. But they held on to him, man.
They held on to him.
They waited till he got his vision together and all that stuff, and the rest
Texter,
is history.
Texter points out, I meant to say offense and defense starters, because Texter points out John Weeks, and actually Kymie Fairbairn was on that team too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking
I'm not
about.
Counting about the special teams guys. I'm talking about like offense and defense, but thank you for pointing that out. And also, like, I mean, I don't think, is it even a conversation just to be in this point? I mean, I guess you could say Rick Smith, whatever. Go back, you know, as long as you want. Talk about other general managers. I think he's the best general. That's already in my mind. He's the best general manager this organization has ever seen, just because we're here in less than 10 years.
Yeah, and just look at the work. You can look at all the draft picks, and I know you got some draft picks you can nitpick and moves you can nitpick, but look at just look at his work.
Mm-hmm.
His work from his last whenever he got here to now.
Yeah.
And compare it to everybody else's work.
Yeah. When was the last time you had like a step-by-step vision of anything? Right, Chris?
Not that I can think of, no.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm going to do this in the first year, then this in the second year, then this in the third year. 713-572-4. It's hard. Like, that's not the world we live in.
I usually start off with like a step, like, all right, this I'm going to do this.
My five-year plan is.
Yeah, it never go plan.
And you can never really predict how it's going to end up. For me, and this is very, very minor, but I remember when I started the Bite Me podcast, the fishing podcast, I said, I'm just going to do it for fun the first year and see what happens. Well, that's kind of a vision, but not really, because I'm like, if it fails, it fails. No harm, no foul. But then year two, we started getting bigger and bigger, and this year we have like 500,000 downloads, but that was just how it worked out.
I think a perfect example for me is back when I used to rap, and whenever I get ready to shoot a music video, I would have to plan out everything.
Still short term.
Yeah, but I would plan out like, oh, so I need to get this person, I got to get this cameraman, I got to make sure this area is good to shoot, and just all this other stuff. And every 10 times out of 10, it never went right. So I had to make sure I had to go to plan B, have a plan C, and just all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I think he did it right, man.
Yeah, and you can kind of hear it in his voice these days too.
Yeah.
Like he's not as rigid, but he's still sort of rigid, but you can tell he's on to something here.
And the one thing I love about Nick Caserio, man, to me, you wouldn't even thought he came from New England, just the way he worked, because them guys up there just be so cocky, stuck in their ways.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, man. He could have easily just went and said, let me get my boy Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Let me get all my people from New England. And he didn't do that. He stepped he stepped outside the box and got somebody that he wasn't even connected
it's,
with.
It takes a lot.
You know, the NFL is like a fraternity, man.
Yeah.
Everybody got their own little groups.
Their little posses.
Yeah. And they bring them wherever they go. No, he didn't do that.
And this isn't just like, oh, hey, a Nick Caserio segment, Nick Caserio appreciation segment.
Yes, it is.
It is because I just want people to realize it's hard what he did. And I think he's already proven to be the best general manager before they even snapped the ball. All right, guys. So last night, the Astros, they kind of put the final touches on a big statement to the American League. And I think that statement has everybody scared. And I'm going to explain it because you think one-run game statement? Yes, one-run game statement, and we'll explain that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day! Oh, give me some juice, baby!
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
A-Town.
Sports Radio 610.
Feeling the Astros, man. Everybody's feeling the Astros right now because it is it's happening. So this is what I was thinking about. They won their eighth straight game, which season long, by the way.
Season long.
Eighth yep. straight. But there was something about that game that I think just kind of added an exclamation point to what they had done in the previous seven. So, and the reason I say that is like we've been talking, I mentioned this to Sean during the toss. So we've been feeling the Astros looking like the old Astros because they're doing what they've done for 7 years, going on 8 years, whatever it is. Like they're getting ahead of on early, they're piling on runs, they're using traffic, and they're relying on good starting pitching. Now, it's not the starting pitchers that we thought it was going to be. We've talked about that. They're just like putting their foot on the opponent's throat collectively and just squishing them. Last night was different, though. Last night, to me, it was kind of a different way that the Astros can sort of pull your heart out of your chest.
Yeah.
They had one hit for most of that game.
Man.
They had one hit, and they were winning 1-0. I mean, they had one hit. It wasn't about good pitching and mashing, which they've done a lot of. It was like a tight game, a tough game, a nail-biting game. The other pitcher was outstanding. It was defense, and we're going to hear some of that. It was clutch hitting. We're going to hear some of that. It was, you know, pretty good managing, you know, getting everybody in the right spots, getting the right pitchers, matching up, the way you handled the late innings and all that. And it was a one-run game. Like, to me, that's even more Astros. That's like a postseason type of Astros.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the toss, and yeah. I like that a lot. That did feel like a postseason win.
Yeah.
And that's how the postseason going to be, man.
Yes, exactly.
It ain't going to be no, you know, just crushing every single opponent like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's some of the best pitching you're going to find.
Yep.
It's a lot of chess being played, so you might get some pitchers that, you know, might be pitching a no-hitter,
yeah,
and then they go right to their bullpen to some of the best pitchers you'll find.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a lot of 1-0 games or 2-1, yeah, or, you know, it's going to be like a pitching masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Astros last night showed that, hey, we can play.
We can do that.
We can play that game, too.
We still do that.
Yeah, we good over here, too. We can crush you, too. But when that's not working, when we come across a pitcher that's on the money, we can still hang in there, too.
Yeah.
We can just get just enough to beat y'all.
Yeah, that's why, in a weird way, it was actually even more encouraging. Like they are grooving, man. They are grooving. And it started with defense. Started with, you know, because Tampa had its opportunities.
It's up with the longest outing of his career. This ball lined to right. Coming on, Dubon. Diving attempt, and he makes a great catch. Doobie did it in right field and the seventh inning.
Doobie did it on defense. They go to the extras. Doobie did it on offense.
Line drive, base hit center field. One run scores. Myers being held up. Astros take the lead on a Mauricio Dubon base hit to center. Doobie.
That's about all you can say, right?
Doobie. Smoking on some doobie.
So obviously he was the player of the game. He was speaking with Julia Morales after the game, and he kind of talked about this interview actually is what got me thinking about this, because like he talked about picking the team up in these types of games.
With Doobie here, what an AB in the 10th inning. Take me through it. It was such a battle.
You know, it's been a grind. I mean, I've been hitting the ball right at people or guys making plays on me, you know, just praying and, you know, staying positive through all, you know, everything. I think Jake helped me out, and all just watching him the whole at bat, you know, went through, you know, really good at bat, and just I was able to see most of the pitches.
Can that get you going, a hit like that?
Oh yeah. I know it's big win for us. You know, we get to go home, you know, with a sweep and enjoy the off day tomorrow too.
8 straight for this team. This road trip's been unbelievable. What clicked for you guys this last week and a half or so?
You know, we're just going there and we're, like you said, being resilient. I mean, we're going out there and try to pass the baton. You know, Jeremy with a big knock. I mean, that was the only hit so far, and just coming in. And, you know, sometimes Brady and Alvarez can win games too. So we gotta help him out a little bit.
They had a decent road trip.
That's what I'm talking about. Being resilient. You can't always rely on Yordan or Bregman or whatever, and they are off today. Tomorrow is going to be Garrett Crochet against Spencer Getty at Minute Maid Park. But you know, at the very beginning of this 25 game stretch, where they had the Red Sox, then Tampa, which is a pretty good team, they come home. They should sweep the White Sox. They better sweep the White Sox. That'll get them to 11 and straight. Man. By the way, then they have two of the Red Sox. They've got, you know, some Kansas City's in there. This 25-game stretch is a tough one. They're 7-0.
They off to a great start.
7-0 on that 10.
A great start.
25-game stretch.
I didn't think they was going to be this good like this, man. Because I was a little worried about the Red Sox game.
Yeah.
Because I thought they were pretty good. And
they are.
They totally dominated them.
Mm-hmm.
And look, man, they, like I said, they off to a good start. I don't think they're going to go 25-0.
Hey now. We'll take 24-1.
Yeah, but no, they on a good roll now, man. I think if they can win every series, yeah, at least take two out of three, or you know, whatever it is, man. This is looking really good, man.
And just keep it rolling.
Scary.
Nothing wrong with being greedy, man.
No, man.
Expectations for this team are high, man. So it's got to be greedy.
So eight straight, and when I said this 25-game stretch, when they have, you know, pretty tough schedule, they're 7-0 on that. So they already have 7 of that 25 dubs.
Yeah.
Let's get to 16?
Yeah, so is that the magic number for you out of these?
I just think this is the key stretch. I'm saying,
what would make you satisfied out of these 25 games? Win how many?
14, 15. Let's get greedy.
17.
I'm gonna say 16.
16. Okay.
I'm gonna get greedy.
I was thinking
16.
Around 15.
Yeah.
I think 15.
I'm with Chris. Let's get a little greedy.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Because look at how they're playing.
Hey, let's get to 20, man. Go 20-5, man. I'm fine with that.
20-5. Now, there are a couple things. Let's not, ignore in victory, what we would not ignore in defeat. They got to do something about Chaz McCormick. I mean, they have to do something. Did you see the game last night, Chris?
Yeah, man. Oh, man.
Chad. The old golden sombrero.
Chad, I don't know, man. He's been off this whole month. I mean, past 2 months, I want to say, but yeah. I know this month has been rough.
Why
is he out there just because?
It's bodies.
They somebody, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't have, I feel like they don't have nobody really to put out there. I mean, Kyle Tucker's out. I mean, they're playing you saw Dubon make that play there. So it's just, they need Tucker, man.
It's a damn shame what they did to that dog,
They need Tucker. We'll get you an update on Tucker in just a bit. But, they absolutely need him. I wouldn't mind. Look, I think this is going to happen because he is who he is. Jose Altuve hadn't exactly been ripping it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, that's a bad thing to me. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also a positive thing because they 7-0.
Yeah.
They've been picking up the slack. It's not like they depending on them right now. That's what we're talking
about. A very Astros-like thing.
Yeah. And then not to mention Kyle Tucker not even on this team.
Mm-hmm.
So, they doing what needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to remind everybody that we're going to have tickets for Saturday's game. It's a Thursday surprise. We usually have Texans ticket Tuesdays, but it's everybody loves a good surprise. A pair of club level seats. We're gonna give club level seats. If you didn't get a chance to win the tickets on Tuesday, you're gonna have a chance today. And I'm really bad at hints, so let's just say this about when you need to be listening. If you win these tickets, you're gonna go nuts.
Okay.
I like what you did there.
I see what you did.
I like it.
All right. So we talked about a Kyle Tucker update. Let's get you a Kyle Tucker update and let's localize it next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's localize it here. Something that's just kind of popping right now on the old internet, and that is Andy Reid. You brought this to my attention, Figgy. He announced that Patrick Mahomes and the entire offense is going to play the entire half?
The entire first half, including Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. That seems unnecessary.
Yeah, especially somebody, a team like that been there,
yeah,
that won a Super Bowl, that have the same franchise quarterback. And, yeah, I'm sure you got a couple
They've
new pieces.
They've played 20-plus games the last
y'all
few
Y'all know each other. Y'all know, it's unless y'all got a different offense or something like that, which I highly doubt.
No, they don't.
Nah, man, like, what y'all doing, man?
I don't know. I'm interested how Chiefs fans are reacting to this. Yes, they want to see Patrick Mahomes on the offense, but good Lord.
Yeah, like, what y'all doing? What you doing, Terry?
I mean, I understand. I even understand if the Texans. I'm not an advocate of it. I'm very clear on that over the last few days. I would just as well see him this game and then see you later. See you in September. But I get it. Like, second-year quarterback, new receiver, new running back. I get it, and I get that D'Amico's kind of an old school guy, but man,
Yeah, I'm
the Chiefs?
Yeah, so I'm wondering, did they do that last year? Or did they
kinda, I don't remember.
I don't think they did that last year.
Yeah.
But maybe, and I brought this up a couple times too, maybe they want to get ahead. They want to start the season strong and just be in sync with each other. So maybe playing a whole half in the preseason just going to kind of knock the rust off. But I still don't see that.
They proved last year they can knock the rust off the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah,
because they still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they started slow. I thought they was in trouble.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
They still won the Super Bowl. So maybe I don't know if they just trying to go undefeated this year or something. They trying to start off strong.
Yeah.
But I really don't see a reason why they...
trying to win three straight Super Bowls.
Super Bowl champs playing the whole half in a preseason game like that. Starters.
Yeah, and that's how we're localizing it. I get it here. I wouldn't support it. I mean, I don't support the idea, but I get it. But give me 4 years, 5 years down the road, I don't even care if I see CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
Until the regular season.
Yeah, so I'm curious, like, what's the max for you? A quarter or just a couple of series?
For Mahomes?
Yeah, no, just you, period. Like,
here, I'd like to see him do two series, and if they get frisky, do the first quarter. And then that's it.
Yeah, my max is the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, you could play a whole quarter. Mm-hmm. That could be only like three series.
Yeah.
And that's it for me.
Yeah.
I ain't playing no whole first half.
Maybe the last game, a whole quarter. But like, to me, it's just more just building up. Just kind of first game, just one series, two series, then the next game.
Exactly.
3 to 4. Then after that, it's just like a whole quarter. So just a slow build up, but not like how the Chiefs are doing it. Everybody, all right, let's go.
That's
and you know,
they the Super Bowl champs for a reason.
They know how to win Super Bowls.
Yeah, so I can't sit there and say that's the wrong way to do it.
They know how to win Super Bowls. Nevertheless, there is a worst case scenario out there that people would destroy Andy Reid if it happens.
Yeah,
know what it is.
Hey, you can bring this up. Bring it up.
Yeah.
Don't bring up the Houston Texans. Just bring up Kansas City.
Okay.
What's that worst case scenario?
Patrick Mahomes could suffer a severe injury.
Season ending,
long term, whatever you want to say. Andy Reid would get destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed. And rightfully so.
Yeah.
Like I said, they proved last year, you can go 6 weeks into the season, oh man, they stink this year, and then boom, they're Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
They can dial it in.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I don't understand why they play. But like I said, they the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
If they win it this year again, then next year I'll be like,
we
got to play a whole half. Hey, you know what? Y'all need to play a whole damn game at this point.
Do what the Chiefs did.
Exactly.
I would do exactly what the Chiefs did.
All right, so we said we're going to give you a Kyle Tucker update. They really need to Kyle Tucker back. They don't need him right now, but they're going to need him. Chaz McCormick, all that stuff that we were talking about, they need that other guy in there. So Joe Espada gave an update on Kyle Tucker. He said that he hit inside and the cage is inside and, quote, did a ton of work in the weight room. That doesn't tell me anything. He also said it's slow progress, but he's trending in the right direction. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's been trending in the right direction for 2 months. 2 months.
Man.
I mean, oh, and by the way, there was another video attached to it. Brian McTaggart, shout out to Brian McTaggart from MLB.com.
Them videos look so uncomfortable, him trying to walk.
I would go up to McTaggart and say, dude,
yeah,
I love you, but don't put those videos up
there. Yeah, I'd be like, bro, I'm taking your credential. If you ever put some, I'm going to have to do like the Houston Texans do. Like, all right, no shooting.
Cameras down.
Yep, cameras down, no shooting. So every time Kyle Tucker go out there, no shooting. Like, I don't want nobody to see that.
No, not at all. What'd you say? He looks like Fred Sanford?
Yeah. Every time I see him, I just want to be...
Oh, man. When's it going to happen? I don't know. That's one hell of a bruise, man.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm fully recovered from my deep bone bruise. If you ever were listening, I guess last Monday, because it was the weekend before, I suffered a deep bone bruise on my left arm, fully recovered.
Okay.
Didn't miss a day of work.
Hey, yeah, my neck still hurt. I think I need Tommy John.
Hey, man. TJ?
Yeah. That
hey, might as well get it, man.
Yeah. All right. So I got a question for you, localizing it here on In the Loop. So I heard a lot of people heard this, but Mike McDaniel was talking about the kind of the embarrassment of riches that they have at running back in Miami. And it got me thinking, is this the only thing lacking is that depth? Let's listen to Mike McDaniel first.
I believe the last 3 years you had two running backs atop the depth chart as co-starters, kind of. Can you describe your balance there between like maybe a planned approach and an adaptive or reactive approach as it goes through the season?
No, I mean, there's who says we have to stop at two? maybe we can just have four. No, I think you have to let the players determine who gets the ball and how frequently and how much they're in the game. And that's very important. I think the cool thing when you have a position group that on the front end, you know, by NFL standards is very, very talented. One of the most, if not the most talented of, you know, that you can remember or you've been on teams with, you don't worry about how that is going to unfold. You let it unfold, and it's always very obvious. You can tell by how people execute their blocks and their belief of the player carrying the ball, and you have to be able to be open-minded to how it plays out.
The Dolphins have three studs at running back. Obviously, Raheem Mostert, Devin Achane, and Jalen Wright is just tearing it up. Man. And he's another guy that can run a 4.0. I'm exaggerating, but like he is just
a four flat.
That's got me thinking about the Texans. I mean, we have confidence in Joe Mixon. Is that where they're lacking? Like that other dude, and that's what we got to see on Saturday.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that. We've been kind of, nitpicking on on Damian Pierce a little bit. And
there's questions with Cam Akers.
Yeah, so I love D'Amico Ryans. I'm glad he's the head coach. But sometimes I get a little jealous of Mike McDaniels.
Dude.
I like the way he – I love the way he treat the running back position, man. Mm-hmm. He draft one, it feel like, every single year.
Those three guys are really good.
Yeah.
All three are going to be, for what it's worth, like high fantasy picks.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the touchdowns they're probably going
to
score.
Yeah. I think, to me, in a perfect world, I would love for the Houston Texans to – operate their running back situation like that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, yeah, you got Joe Mixon, but hey, if it's somebody right there in the second round that's really good and that can help this offense, draft that person. Don't look there and say, oh, well, we got Joe Mixon then, so we don't need.
They could have said we got Mostert.
Yeah.
No, they went and got Achane.
Yeah.
Then this year they went and got Jalen Wright from Tennessee.
That was shocking to me.
Dude.
Because I know they had Achane, but.
Yeah.
I thought that was it. When they drafted, I'm like, damn, how many running backs y'all going to get?
But look, they're using them.
Yeah.
Out of the backfield, different situations. And like you just heard Mike McDaniel, they're going to tell you when they have the hot hand and they're going to understand.
Yeah, and as a defense, you got to prepare for all of that. Mm-hmm. And I just don't, to me, I mean, unless you have like a Derrick Henry or something like that, I just don't care for the workhorse running back anymore, man.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah, you don't have to have a workhorse running back.
Yeah.
Get a couple running backs, man, and play them all.
Yeah.
Get some really good. You don't have to have a Joe Blow type of backup running back.
Yeah.
Get three good ones.
I'll tell the Dolphins right now, give me your third best back right now, today, and I'll put him behind Joe Mixon.
Yeah. Hey, we'd be throwing a parade if we traded for one of them.
Pick your top two and keep them. Give me your third. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is. You think it's Achane? You think it's Wright? You think, hell, they got that other dude. I mean, who's the other running back that? Jeff Wilson. He's played a little bit, but they brought him on. But yeah, give me your third running back.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
Yeah, man. I wish they operate like that, man.
Yeah.
Maybe they will. I don't know. But I wish they just bring in running backs like all the time and just use every one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so a couple things coming up. We're gonna tell you with our chests. Everybody's talking about who's the number one receiver, who's gonna lead them in yards, touchdowns, catches. All right, so Chris brought this up, and I think it's a good question. Let's put numbers on it. Let's put predictions on it. Yards, touchdown, catches, and yards per catch for these Texans wide receivers. Who's gonna lead in all those? What are you expecting? Also, a little cap or no cap, because we're gonna be listening to D'Amico Ryan's live off the practice field today, when we usually do that on Thursdays. So we're going to do that, and cap or no cap, that's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.